Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
What do we fear most? For ourselves, our families, our world. In what part of our lives do we wish and pray for more courage to hope for a different world, a more peaceful future? For many of us, it's being grounded, rooted by family and friends, by predictable employment, good health, solid traditions. We fear an unknown future or unknown terrain. It varies for each of us, but there is a palpable sense in this time and place of anxiety, of anger, and I'm going to go so far as to say of dread. Yet I believe that we mostly want the same things: peace, security, community. I was struck by the imagery shared by numerous news sources this week of split screens showing reactions in both Israel and Gaza, trying to capture the elation and relief from both places. After the announcing of the ceasefire deal brokered this week on the second anniversary of what has been an unimaginable humanitarian crisis. Meanwhile, here at home, divisive politics seep into every aspect of our lives, even when so many of us work faithfully to summon the courage to hope and pray for a reconciled, fruitful way to live together in our diversity. Many of us are laser focused on our individual circumstances, especially with so many federal workers in this congregation alone, furloughed, working without pay, worrying about losing their job, income, safety, and identity. I've been in conversations with many of you who are absolutely at the end of your tether, teetering at the edge of the unknown, asking, what can I pray? How can I make sense of it all? What can we do? My response is that we are not alone. And the way God changes anything across human history has been through us. We are God's hands and feet and minds and hearts and strength here and now. When I'm feeling as unmoored as I know many of us are, I pray. I listen. I show up. I vote. And not at all in this order, but I turn to our scriptures, to the witness of so many faithful prophets and parents, leaders, and learners wrestling with what it means to be God's people. The Bible is filled with witnesses to exile and wandering, fleeing oppression, to regathering, restoring, rebuilding. Most of us have not had to face literal exile, but many around the world do, including from ubiquitous natural disasters like hurricanes and wildfires, increasing in number and strength over recent years, so many scientists believe, because of us and our haphazard stewardship of creation. Lives are lost. Houses and dreams are dashed to ruins. Plus, wars and violence rage on. Thousands have been forced to flee their homelands, maybe never to return again. And they are surely shattered, longing for their former lives, all that they had built, all that they thought they knew. Or even if we're not physically displaced, our sense of rootedness and ballast, even our courage to hope for a time beyond, can be lost during life's unexpected upheavals. Only 5 years ago, a worldwide pandemic upended us all, our sense of community, our sense of safety, our sense of the future. So many lost their lives or their livelihoods. And even those of us so blessed to have kept our jobs and our families have borne witness to traumatized friends and colleagues. National world leaders talk about Armageddon, and every day, 125 souls still die from gun violence in the U.S. alone, at home, at schools, and in places of worship. We want so badly to close our eyes and have everything return to the way things were, right? The ancient Israelites weren't that different. After Jerusalem fell to the invaders in the 6th century BCE, the prophet Jeremiah imparts that it is the Lord God who has sent the people into exile in Babylon, where they will remain for 70 years, a lifetime, a generation, who is now asked to settle where they are and go about their lives, get married, have children, build houses, plant gardens. What? Unlike us, Jeremiah isn't panicking in the face of this shocking turn of events. He instructs the people to live into and pray for their new home city in enemy territory. Only then will they find peace and well-being. Or as my Presbytery colleague, Reverend Marianne McKibben Dana puts it, there's no time for doom scrolling when you're measuring drywall. It's harder to succumb to despair when you're focused on pulling weeds. Our lectionary passage this morning leaves out the next 6 verses about God's promise, about the timeline, about hope, where we hear, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." In her book, Jeremiah, Pain and Promise, theologian Kathleen O'Connor comments, "The book of Jeremiah is a work of resilience, a survival manual, and a work of theological art. It is not a factual history of events. It is an emotion-soaked set of testimonies that plunge into overwhelming catastrophe and transform it, that the nation might not perish but be reborn as God's people. Jeremiah's God is an expression of divine involvement," she writes. "When we are stuck in the mud, lost in intense pain, and wandering with no compass, it can feel like the end of the world, like we're wandering without a compass so often these days, amidst mounting divisiveness, shifting sands, shattered allegiances, and where sometimes we don't even know anymore where we stand or what we believe. We gather in worship to both be comforted and challenged, as Jesus modeled. We find solace in being together, in confession, in sharing Christ's peace, remembering we are not alone. And we're challenged by prophetic voices, including Jesus's, who, dare I point out, gets political by identifying the only leper offering gratitude to God after his healing as the foreigner, the Samaritan, the outsider, the enemy. Jeremiah says, settle in, even in this enemy territory, in this foreign land, when half the community has been left back in Jerusalem, the laborers and farmers like the migrant workers on your bulletin, living into where they were left behind, now without family or community, in a dislocated existence from those in Babylon. There, the exiled Israelites are the priests and elders, the artists, the innovators, the elite. They weren't slaves, but they weren't free to leave either. They remained as exiled pawns, forcing the appointed ruler back in Judah to pay tribute to Babylon. But Jeremiah calls on those exiles to live as if their home in Jerusalem, to build, to grow, to marry, to reproduce, create a new generation who won't remember how things used to be when they're allowed to finally return home. Yet, the psalmist writes, how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And we wonder too, how can we live in the present without longing for what is familiar, without dreading an unknown future? In the poetry of W.H. Auden, we would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in our dread than climb the cross of the present and let our illusions die. Can we let our illusions or our disillusions die? Hopefully your pastors can model the courage to hope for a reconciled future by preaching God's word for all believers, beyond the binaries of political parties, not unlike the two communities Jeremiah prophesied to. Can we remember our past and live into our present, summoning the courage to hope for a transformed tomorrow? Can we honor the communities and traditions in which we were raised while acknowledging our present circumstances, our fears, our worries about our futures and our children's futures and their children's futures? Like Jennifer Rocha, the first in her family to graduate from college, who honored her migrant worker parents doing a photo shoot widely circulated on social media a couple years ago, wearing her UC San Diego cap and gown, standing in the bell pepper fields, modeling her parents' hard labor, which gave her and her sisters their educations. Like welcoming guests and visitors, everyone, whoever they are and wherever they are in their journeys of life and faith, whatever their backgrounds. Like rolling up our sleeves and helping others beyond these walls, packing food, collecting diapers, walking to raise funds and awareness. Hope is dynamic and active. It demands the courage to transform our fear and anxiety, planting ourselves in the here and now. How? We might lift up our voices at voice actions like the one next Sunday for affordable housing. Or we might join the peaceful presence at the Hands Across Alexandria rally. Or we might venture this next weekend to one of our congregants' plays, It's My Party, bearing witness to women modeling empowerment and changing history and earning the right to vote. Or we might try out one of the four Bible studies here. Or join Wednesday nights through poetry and faith, trying to understand where we are now. Or write postcards. Call representatives, staff a hotline, take care of our federal workers, worship here together to be challenged and changed as well as comforted and consoled. Pray with all your heart and soul. Pray for who and where we are now, even amidst fear of cataclysmic end-of-the-world scenarios from global warming or a country so divided we hardly recognize it. God is wherever we are. God is with us. God is in us. Teresa of Avila, the 16th century mystic and reformer, wrote, "Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Your eyes with which he looks compassionately on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world." And as Jeremiah implored, let us pray for where we are here, now. Let us pray with our feet and our voices. Let us pray for the courage to hope for God's promised future embodied in us. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.